Good morning. This past week, staff was daf samach beis in the 8th perek in Maseches Nedarim. Okay, lomazin. People start from Mishnah. Let's see a little bit. Habachis over here. Zoch nishar hakotze ar habotze ar hamasik in echayev elo ad sheyagiyah. So makes a nether and he gives a time limit to the Isser till Kotzim, Botzim. Kotzim refers to Tfua, Botzim is Anovim, grapes, Masik. These are all Lashon of harvesting. Masik is the olives, Seisim. Any Osir Ella Adshe Yagia. Zok the Mishnah Zehaklal Kol Shuzman Kavua V'Omer Atch Yagia Izot Atch Yagia. Some which is Man Kavua. We'll see the round. Now the round talks about that Kavua is the measure how long it takes. So if it's Kavua, so it says Atch Yagia Zot Atch Yagia Omer Atch Yehi Os Atch Yehi. B'chol Zman Shein Zman Kavua Bein. Omar ad sheyehei bein Omar sheyegia ini osar elo ad sheyagia. We see the Ran. The Ran is on the daf before. That's where the Ran is. See what that is over here? They give a little star for that. And a kotz, and a botzil, and a masik ini osar elo ad sheyagia. So Zok the Ran says over here that this mission says ad hakosra these lishonis. What we mean to say is that whether you said ad shegia or ad sheyehei, those are the two lishonis that we had before, which make a difference when it was zmanei kavua, like at a Pesach. So over here, Arakotzir refers to either of the two. Even though the Mishnah in the next Dvava really speaks out both by Kayetz. Right, ad hakayitz, ad sheyehei hakayitz. The Mishnah over this stressing that it doesn't make a difference. Over here, the Mishnah does not speak it out as strongly as that. It's like maybe it's a shayla in the Mishnah about this, but a kapon in the Ran learns that. This mission, this part of the mission, the ratio of our mission over here, Arakotz Arabotim, includes both, because it's a Dover She'en Le'Kitzvah. And the clown goes on it, and this is an example of Dover She'en Le'Kitzvah. Let's see it around. Let's look around. Zeha Klau Kol Shemani Kavua Klemer. She'yei Sham Shachosei Zman Kavua. The Zmani Kavua that we're talking about over here. We are right now looking at the Ran on the Mishnah. The Ran is going on the Mishnah that we have printed on our daf on Samach Aleph Amid Beis.
Yeah.
And the Ran appears on Samach Aleph Amid Aleph.
Oh. Okay,
so we are it's in the Mishnah in the Ran. Mm-hmm. And it's around halfway through Zehaklau. We're up to Zehaklau. Yeah, right. Klemer, Zok the Ran. What does Zmanei Kavua refer to? Klemer Sheish Laham Shachos Zman Kavua. That means that the duration, the Meshach Zman of this, of what he's referring to, is Kavua. Kigoin, Pesach, Shekavu Boiter Shvas Yomim. It has a specific amount of time, 7 days. Ki omar ad sheyehei. So this type of thing when he says Ad Sheyehei, that Loshon is Mashma till it finishes. Also Ad Sheyetze, right, till the Yom Tov is finished. The Kivan the Yoda Zman Hemshech Isura, since it's clear to him how long the Yom Tov is Nimshach, and therefore how long his Issa will be. Right, so therefore, his person's das is that he wants to ask her something which is clear. They don't have a zman kavua. Referring to the duration time, seems like that the starting time is kavua, but how long it takes each person. You know, as long as it takes for him. So that's not definite. Is afilo omar ad sheyehei, even if he says loshon ad sheyehei, also el ad sheyagiyam, the isser is only till it begins. Shein adam oisa atzmei bizman shein lo kitzvo. That's we have the right to assume that a person doesn't ask for himself something which is not definite, and therefore when he says a loshon that could be understood just the definite amount of time, then we understand that's what he means. Therefore we had before now the loshon of Ad Sheyehei seems to have a possible tumashmois in it. It would sound like that the simple understanding of Ad Sheyehei means till Ad Sheyetzei, and therefore, if it's a dover that's the Yesh LeKitzvo, something which has a specific amount, so we take it at the simple understanding. However, if it's dover Shein LeKitzvo, like a harvest season, that when it actually ends is not necessarily so clear. So such a thing, even if he says Ad Sheyehei, we understand that what he means is only to when it starts, being that it's a dover shein lekitzvo, and in Hashem, a person does not answer himself on something an undefined amount of time. Mm-hmm. Right, we'll see a little more about that as we go on. However, like we'll see, I mean, there are cases that if he specifically states that he wants to be also, you know, till it finishes, so, you know, then there's no, then it's not going to, this idea of Ein Lekitzva won't have any bearing, because what he said was clear. Only because the Losh itself is Sovel, it tolerates such a translation. Even though Min Hastam, it really would mean to cover the entire amount of time. If it was Zman She'en Kavua, then we'd go by that interpretation. Okay. Now I guess it's good that just to speak through one point like this. We had before Machlekes in the Mishnah Ad Pnei, right? By Pesach itself, right? Which is a double kavua. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, there was a shot maybe the exact gear, so, but the Mishnah said that a chilek, it says Ad Shegir, Ad Shehei. And then there's Machlekes in the Mishnah over there, if a person says Ad Pnei, Ad Lifnei. The Meir of Yosi, Agmar explained that Mishnah was a machlekes with the person's mal nafshi l'sveika. Right, that was this Gemara, right, the last daf of this head. Right, the Meir of Meir Savalei mal inish nafshi l'sveika, and Rabbi Yosi holds mal inish nafshi l'sveika. Right, so let's just speak through this point over here. It seems to me that there was a machlekes over there whether a person's mal nafshi l'sveika or not. Now, in this Gemara, right, we seem to be saying the Parshat Kulei Alma, Adavah She'en LeKitzvah, right? Since it's a undefined thing, it's not clear. So everyone who holds that a person does not mean to aser himself with it. Right, so if we were to raise the question that let's say according to Jeff Mand Omer, right, Maskan Sangmar changes who's who exactly, but according to the Mand Omer, that Mal Inish Nafshel is Sveika, so why is it that over there we say it's Mal Inish Nafshel is Sveika, and over here by Dovash and Lekitzva it's agreed upon that a person does not get involved in the Sofik? Right, you hear the point, right? So it would seem to us, and I don't know what we need to see that it seems to be two different reasons for the sophic. The meaning like this is that, let's say by us, right, over here, Zach Cloud, Lo Shein, like if something intrinsically is a Dovash and the Kitzvah, that's what we're talking about, right? How long the harvesting takes, that's Dovash and the Kitzvah. Right? So the non-clarity of it is something which has nothing to do with him. That's just what it is. So therefore, everyone agrees that concerning such a thing like that, when a person makes an Isser, so he doesn't get involved, he doesn't mean to put himself into a situation of a sophic. Over there, it was really mitzad the lashon itself, right? That he used a certain lashon, that was the issue over there, and the lashon that he's using is a lashon which could tolerate a more than one precise translation. So over there, the shaila is that does he want whatever is included from the fact that he used the lashon? So he wants whatever that lashon is soivel, even though it might include things which is a sophic or not. That's l'chayra how we would approach the chiluk. Right, the chiluk is that the sophic, where does the sophic come from? Is it a product of what he did, or it's something which is outside of what he did? If something which is outside of what he's doing, so that's when that's when we have this cloud that a person does not get involved in sveikis. But if it's something that he himself created, that's the machlekes in the Gemara before. That if he created this suffix, so there's a madama that says that he means and he wants to the issur to be chal on whatever is within the possibility of what he means.
And he said lifnei or bifnei. That's the suffix he said.
Yeah, well, right. That was Loshna he said.
So
right.
We don't know if he meant. We don't know if he meant in the beginning or in the end.
Since it's seems to be. I'm showing exactly what it would. Right, but there is an inclarity in that. Let's say it's a suffix when we come to the round. It's a suffix what it means. So because of the suffix, right, if we take the word and with whatever the word could possibly mean, there's a mokum sophic in that, and therefore, right. So that's where it's mal nafshel sveika. That's the chara how we could understand whether it's a product of his own doing or it is a sophic which is outside of his personal doing.
Is the problem that it's a sophic, or what's the nature of the sophic? Is it just that he doesn't know how long his netter lasts, or there's something intrinsic in the lasting of the netter that he's going to be besuffic what to do? You hear what I'm asking?
You're talking in Pnei? That's
okay. Yeah, let's say in Pnei.
Okay.
Meaning, is the question, meaning a person, because, you know, if he would said Ad Sheyavor Pesach, and it's until the end of Pesach. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Ad Pnei, okay, we don't know if it's until the first, second, third, you know, what day it is. It's just that question that he, because he doesn't know how long, and we don't say a person would just be machmer and keep the whole thing as if they said ad sheyavur, that's the whole suffix, or because he's now besuffic whether he has a neder, he's going to have problems for himself out the suffix.
He'll have problems out the suffix. What kind of problems?
I don't know. That's why I didn't originally read it that way, but it's really hard to understand what the problem with this whole in a machnis asim l'safik. If you hold, he could have asked himself for the whole Pesach. So why would we say now minastam that lashon, if normally it should be safik, so you should go l'chumru? I mean, I don't know. You know.
If it would include the suffix, it definitely would go to chumra, and right.
So why and we're not saying he has a problem with asking himself the whole Pesach, because if he had said Ad Shi'av or Pesach,
right,
he also would
right have definitely asked. Has to do with the suffix. It has to do with the suffix, right?
So why the fact that so a person has a suffix, go to chumra. A lot of such people get into a lot of sfeikas in life.
Yeah, right. But the issue seems to be that there's a person wanna get involved in sfeikas.
Maybe he didn't think it was a suffix. He thought on Penei Pesach means till the end of Pesach.
I didn't think this necessarily had to do with what he was thinking right now. I thought it was more like a general kind of thing. That, you know, if this is a person that's a person doesn't want to get involved in sfeikas, so even if he didn't know that it was a sofik, but we tell him afterwards, you know, the lashon that you used was something which is not clear, that's the stoma that a person doesn't want to get involved in sfeikas. Therefore, min hastam, initially, his das was only to create the neder till a point of time which is clear. I think there's like an umdino in that. That's what these svaras are.
You're saying where we tell him afterwards that there's a suffix, but
right,
he didn't know
right.
there was a suffix.
Yeah, so then we can.
And obviously, if we would ask him, he said, "I meant till the beginning of Pesach, or I meant till the end of Pesach, or I meant this or that." Then that would be what it is. So here he's saying, "I don't know what I meant," and we're saying there's a suffix. So now we say, "In the machnis atzalim the suffix." That's what we're saying.
Yeah,
but he didn't know he was being machnis on suffix.
I would have thought that this is how we clarify. Even then, at the end of the day, there is no suffix. In other words, because a person, depending on let's say on our mission, right? Because a person doesn't want to make an indefinitely long suffix, neder, so therefore we understand from the context that when he uses an ambiguous lashon, that obviously in this context it means that it's to the beginning.
When
right?
you mean he, when he says ad shi'ei akatzer, where it's not clear how long it is? Cause
right.
But we're really talking about the Pesach situation.
Okay, so same
he knows what Pesach
is. Same thing with the Pesach one. Is the machlokes there? Is does a person want to get into a suffix or not? Right. So again, I forget which one was the maskana, right? But one says that if he uses a lashon that isn't clear, the context is that clearly he wouldn't want to get involved into a suffix, and so therefore he must have meant to the beginning of Pesach. And the other one says that no, a person doesn't have that, and then either it's because of a suffix remachmir, or maybe maybe that's the primary understanding of how long the neder is. But I think at the end of the day, we're not dealing with sfeikos. We're using the context of the situation to tell us what he meant. And it's not like where he comes afterwards and says, hey, I don't know what I meant.
Well, if he says, I know what I meant, then I don't know. I think we have another question. I don't think the question gets off the ground. He says, I meant this, and then that's what he meant. Like in all these cases.
Mm-hmm.
Stam Lashon is always, I think, where he doesn't know what he meant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, right? Right.
Why can't Stam Lashon be that he said it, but he meant something, but his Lashon is unclear. What he said is unclear.
And he's probably not.
So, because it's an unclear Lashon, Pnei or Lifnei. So then they tell him, listen, what did you mean? The first day or the last day? And he says, I meant the first day. So that's what it is. Or if he says, I meant the last day, then it's the last day.
Is that what we're talking about? That he said something definite? It sounds like that he doesn't have something definite that he meant.
But he said, pnei or lifnei, right? So that he meant the beginning, but he said a lashon that's not clear.
He meant
the beginning, because he said pnei haPesach. He said I'm the beginning of Pesach, when the Pesach comes, the front of Pesach, the face of Pesach, the first day. That's what he meant. So then they tell him, listen, what did you mean? Because it's ambiguous what you said. And he said, no, I meant the first day. So then it's the first.
Let's just question that noise. That means that, Nachum is saying that intrinsically, it's a suffix which you can't decide in your own mind what you want it to mean. That's where you're going.
No, that the person can't decide his own.
Right.
I
just want to finish the way I'm saying that. You can't decide in your mind, and if the word is taken as the book definition, then you're stuck. Then you stop. You said this word and it's over. That's what Nachum's saying. Okay. However, if we know that people don't want to get involved in sfeikis, so then that's the svar that the Gemara is saying, is that when you use a word which is a suffix, then that this overriding factor changes things. Now, I wouldn't understand so exactly how that would work. If you're telling me that the book definition and your intention really has no bearing on it, so I don't know why the fact that we know a person doesn't want to get into sfeikis will change things now. Whereas if you tell me, quanta demand to Omar, mailin shnapshel sfeika, even if he said to us, I only meant this, we'll tell him, I'm sorry, this is what you said. Huh? If that's true, so then how does it help? Loi mailin shnapshel sfeika. If the word means what it does, and we can't help your intentions, so what does Leim Ma'alei Shnapshel Sveika do? It's just an umden, as if he would have originally said that you know, I don't want to get into Sveikas. But we tell me, if according to the other man, the Omer Ma'alei Shnapshel Sveika, even if he tells us clearly what he meant, we can't help him. Alright, so what does Leim Ma'alei Shnapshel Sveika do for us? That's why originally we were talking, making a different chesed. We're saying that definitely, if he tells us what he meant, we would accept him. But the cases that we're talking about, he said that he didn't have anything specifically in mind.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
that's where that came from. But maybe you could explain. You could make that difficult. Just explaining what just transpired over here last couple of minutes.
So according to the way that the Rebbe explains, and I think it's a good time that you made, but according to the way we're understanding it is that he really didn't think about it at all, right? And he's ambiguous. If you asked him, he said, hey, yeah, you know, good question, what did I mean? I don't know, right? So why, because a person, let's say Karmishna, right? Why, because a person, I wouldn't want to make an indefinite Easter, therefore we assume that he meant to the beginning. We know that he didn't mean anything, right? We're misipic of what he means. So, right? There's a given that it was ambiguous. So, what does it have to do that in general people wouldn't make a non-definite amount of Easter, and therefore we interpret it this way. We know that he didn't think of it, and so he, you know, just say Safek Deraisa L'Chumra.
I mean, we could say that, right? There's an underdog here that a person doesn't leave himself in an unclear situation.
We don't need an umdana here. Here we know that. I wasn't even thinking. You know, did you not want to put yourself in a questionable situation? I wasn't thinking. I don't know. Didn't think about it.
Does that take him out of the umdana that a person let's say in this situation, let's talk specifically over here. In other words, a person wants to know, when he has an issue, he wants to know exactly when it begins and when it ends. Right? That's what it is, right? So at the end of the day, right, that's what kind of issue he wants. He wants something which he knows exactly. He could put the time clock on, and he could have his cup of wine waiting for him at the end. It'll be very clear when it is, right? When it is. If you look on the clock, he doesn't have to go run around, the fields to see when people are finishing, right? That's the umdana. So that means that so even if he asks me, I know what I said, but I know what I wanted something definite. Right, that's definitely what he wants. Right, he definitely wants something definite. Right, right. When we're saying he doesn't know what he wants, but it wasn't that there was an indefinite thing in his mind. Right, whatever he wanted something definite. That's what I would think that's what this means over here.
Right. Yeah. By Kutzer, I can understand, because we really don't know when it ends. But by Pesach, where we know it ends, so fine. So he wanted something definite. Pesach ends at a definite time.
So see, over there, the indefinitely. Maybe this is another answer, or maybe this is that. I mean, the indefiniteness of Pesach is comes from a different source, right? It's not that the time frame that he was referring to was indefinite. It was a lotion that he used for something that was not definite, and therefore only misofik he'll have to right he'll have to be noig the iser to the end.
You said that a person wants to be clear all the time, right?
Okay.
So if he said the unclear lashon of Panay, why can't we ask him, what did you mean? Did you mean the beginning or the end or the middle? And if he says the beginning, so it's the beginning. Why can't we do that?
Okay, that's what we discussed before. And we were saying that possibly, he didn't have anything specifically in mind.
But we said a person always he wants to be definite. We said a person always wants to, He wants to have a clarity. He doesn't say, sometime. He wants.
Is that the same thing? Are we saying that a person, when a person speaks, a person has something specific in mind?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So I didn't think that's what we were saying.
That's what we're saying, that a person wants to have a definite time.
Loyal mile in ish nafsilus feka, does that mean that a person, is always thinking something specific, or that means that a person doesn't want to get into sfeikus, and therefore, if I say something which could create a sfeik, I don't mean that.
Right. But
I think there's two different things that we're saying now. You're saying that a person speaks with clarity, that a person is very definite, so therefore you could always ask him.
No, I'm saying that a person sometimes will say something that's unclear.
Right.
But he did have something in mind.
Okay.
Even though he said an unclear word.
So you're saying that a person is very organized and very, and right. A person always, so that's, so.
And sometimes he may say a word that's not so clear, so. But he had something in mind.
So that's the machlokes, whether he had something in mind. Machlokes is whether he had something in mind, whether you could ask him, and we could assume that was really the initial intention.
I think we had in the Gemaras before other cases where somebody said something not so clear and then he was asked.
See, because in this Gemara, see, according to what you're saying, then I mean, are you asking this as a question or?
I'm asking it as a question.
Why? Why can't this be the Pshat Gemara, or why is the Gemara something differently than what I'm thinking? Because the Gemara says, "Loy ma'al ish nafshel sfeika." There aren't two sides over here, right? If you hold "Loy ma'al ish nafshel sfeika," it means that whatever he says, That's what it means in the Gemara. If he says I meant at the end, he's also at the end. And if he says the beginning, then he's also in the beginning. It doesn't sound like from the Gemara. Right? The Gemara sounds like the whole Loim Afshin Seker, he's only also till the beginning. No, is that right?
By Katsu. But what about
by Pesach? By Pesach. That's where the Gemara told it. Ad Pnei. A person uses a lotion, that lotion, right?
Oh.
So he's only also to the beginning because of this form of Lemal Nafshal Sveika. Now, if Lemal Nafshal Sveika meant that a person is very clear, so just ask him, so the halacha should be whatever he says, right? It's not at the beginning more than at the end. Uh-huh. But the halacha is that he's only also at the beginning.
This is where this man is kavua.
Right. But he said a lotion that the lotion itself leans or opens the suffix, uh-huh. Right? And on that condition, says if you hold loyal mal ish nafshalus feka, then he's only also till the beginning. As the Mishnah says, so it doesn't seem to be that the dinner of loyal mal feka means ask him and he'll tell you, and whatever he says, we should go by.
Right?
It would seem to be that sheet is that it's only the beginning. Only the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as you know, asking him is concerned, there's either one or two sodom in that. Either asking doesn't help, or asking him is not what we're talking about. Right? But,
I mean, if you look at the nimshal, it seems to me pretty clear.
Yeah.
The nimshal is that he said, I'm marrying you to my oldest daughter, and now he says, Eini yodea. I mean, it must be that that's the same case by our Mishnah, because that's what they're being nimshal to. So, when we say there, lomail inish l'sveika, what do we mean there? I mean, clearly, he said he had some guy that he thought was a good guy. He wants to marry off his daughter to this guy, right? So, guy who says mail inish l'sveika says he was so excited that this guy's going to marry his daughter, He didn't even know which daughter he was marrying off. He just said, you know, my oldest daughter. And
you pick.
He didn't know what he meant. And I mean, not only didn't he not know what he meant, but he wasn't even in his mind, he didn't have specifically one daughter, the oldest in mind. He had a daughter that could be called oldest. That's Mael Inish L'Sveika. And the guy who's, and the man damer says Ein Mael Inish L'Sveika means no, a person would not do that, even though he's saying now any odeya. I don't know what I meant. But we say a person would not put themselves in a situation where they didn't know which daughter they're marrying off. And so we're going to say that for sure, even though he's saying any odeya, for sure he only meant the oldest of the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. That's a good raya. That's a good raya. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a clear raya that he's not giving a definite interpretation of what he meant here. Now, if he would it make a difference?
So,
what do you think?
So, I mean, again, just based on your deal, right? So by the fact that it says and he didn't know. Is, you know, I think he could be Mashmud, but if he said he did know, then, right?
Yeah, if he says I meant this daughter, then that's what he meant. You know, I assume that's
so. Yeah, could be. Mm-hmm.
Just on the run that we learned about the, you know, putting himself in a definite situation or so. I'm understanding that is not a specific time, right? In other words, the union isn't that Pesach has a specific beginning, but the Ron seems to be stressing is you don't know how long it is.
Right.
But there still might be an ambiguity, let's say when the harvest begins, that might be an ambiguous time. It's just that how long the harvest, that's where a person wouldn't put himself into a suffix.
Well, we'll see about that. I mean, if the beginning was also ambiguous, then we would have to explain what's the difference.
But just look at the. I'm just reading the Ram here. He seems to be stressing that
you're right.
What does he have to say that for? We know that Pesach has a beginning time and an end time, and the Ram seems to be spelling that out.
Okay, so we'll see about that, because the Ram talks about this. Uh-huh. Talks about such a thing. Talks about this. You want to know about something which the Haskolo is not. So that really is the next. Sugya over here. The Ran over here, we had this Ran before also, which already touches on this, but the Ran later on talks about this. That's the really with the sugya on stomach base on base. Right. So,
okay.
The Ran brought Yerushalmi over here, yeah. There's a Yerushalmi over here in the Ram before. You see, right before the Mishnah that we're learning right now. You see that over here? You see the on Samach Aleph Omer Beis.
So the Ram. So, Aleph on base.
Right. So you go to the Mishnah and then scroll up like around six lines, and there's the Yerushalmi that he brings. You see that over there?
What's the Tibet Masko?
Yerushalmi.
Oh, Yerushalmi Kava. Yeah. It's right up here, a few lines above the Mishnah.
Page, yeah.
On Samach Aleph on the base. Looks like about six lines down in the Gemara on the Ran. It should be over here.
Yerushalmi,
see?
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah. I'm just giving you a marmokim on this point of the Haskolo, right? Yerushalmi says this, Kovaz Mal Mishnah Benoi, Vamakarim Yan Shini Toim Ad Shriyehei Mishnah Beni. Right, so he sets up a time for Mishta Benoi, let's say, sets the date, and he asks himself with Yai until that point of time. He says Adshi Yehei Mishta Beni. The Yerushalmi says, "Kmisha zmanay kavua, when me'achas sheyochol edchoisay kmisha in zmanay kavua." Now you hear what? So that Yerushalmi is talking about that a sofik, whether it's zmanay kavua or not. Now that's an issue in the Haskola, right? That's the question: we're going to push off the date or not? Right, that's what it is. All right, probably the Mishnah itself has a defined amount of time. Right, how long the chasen is going to last? Right, but right. So over there, so I see over there already that the kviyas man that could the haschol could have to do with that also. Mm-hmm. Okay. Akapanim. That's the first step. But the Zaran later on we'll see in the sugya of the upcoming daf, which specifically talks about such a thing like this of ein zmanei kavua in the haskola, and that definitely could have a bearing. So maybe we should hold off on making a deek right now that it's specifically like that. We'll see as we go on a little bit more, maybe in our mission over here, but I would assume at this point in time, if it's possible, to say that the haschola of the kotzer is defined, right? And it's just the hemshech is undefined. But now, if you want to know technically, you know, how is it possible that this man of a kotzer is the haschola is defined? Does someone blow the whistle? You know, people running out. Okay, I don't know exactly how precise and exactly you need. You know, is there a date on the clock? A date on the calendar.
School calendar puts
it. Yeah, puts out such a thing like that. Yeah, I don't know exactly about that. Akoponim, yes, let's see. So back off. Okay, so right now we're learning the Mishnah over here in Samach Aleph on Beis. Okay. Right? And we saw this Mishnah speaks out the klal of Zman Kavua. And in this context, what we're talking over here is because like this. The previous Mishnah told us that there's a chilek in lashon if you say ad sheyagia or ad sheyehei. Ad sheyagia is the haschol. Ad sheyehei means till it's over. And on that comes this klal comes to say that there's a difference in ad sheyehei. We refer to when it's over is only something which has a definite meshach zman. Something it's the duration of this what you're referring to is clear. Then ad sheyehei. We'll refer to when it's over. But if it's not defined, for example, Dr. Rand, kotzir, not defined how long it takes, and therefore, in Astam, a person, even if he uses Loshon Rav Shiyehei, that his intention definitely is not to get involved in something which is an undefined amount of time, and therefore he's only also Rav Shiyehei till the beginning.
Why would we not bring into him
Especially what we just discussed before.
Oh,
right, sorry. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. We spoke about that. What would you say? What would you say on that? Let's see. We had some different schois. What would you say to that? Let's say we want like a coin to the Mando Omar that says over there, my lineage nafsal is faker. Why? It seemed like he would agree over here that you wouldn't. So how would you think? How would you start thinking on such a question? What is the?
I guess try to find the splitting of the hairs between the types of suffer.
Right.
So I see a slight difference, but I don't see how some chiluk is mechalik. So in the case of ad lifnei haPesach, there is a definite zman hamshacha, and the question is, what was his intention? Like the suffix is in. He's not in the Metzius, the Suffolk is in his intent. And over here, the Suffolk is in the Metzius.
Right, so that maybe we could understand by saying that the difference is that where did the Suffolk originate from? What's the source of the Suffolk? Whether it's something an outside source or it's he himself? Right, so possibly that if he himself created the suffix, so then you know he's getting involved in that. But that's that mandal makoponim. But the suffix that you have over here in Kotzer is an outside suffix that such a thing that everyone agrees that a person doesn't mean to get himself involved in. Right, that's one possibility. Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. That's a good point. Good point. Very good. Okay. Let's see the Soif HaMishnah. Zok the Mishnah Ara Kayitz. Mishnah talks about Kayitz. This Mishnah over here tells us a little bit about Kayitz. about kayitz, what kayitz actually means. So we see over here, the Ran tells us, I mean, kayitz definitely refers to the harvest of te'enim, of figs, and actually it refers to something which is harvested by hand. Now, all right, the Ran says, you see, let's see that Ran. The first Ran of the Mishnah, by us, right? This is in the Mishnah on Samach Aleph on the base. This will be the Ran starts over here. I guess he had his Mishnah broken up, I guess, into different parts, different than we have. So the Mishnah itself says, and this is what we meant to point out over here, the Mishnah over here clearly says that no matter which lashon he uses, the Mishnah speaks out, whether he says Arakayitz, or he even says Achi Hekayitz, being that this is a Dovah Shein Lekitzva, so he's only offered till the beginning. And the Mishnah tells us the beginning is Achi Eschil Hom Lahachnes Bekalkolis. Now the Ran tells us like this, Kayitz is Man Lekitzis Peres Te'enim. It refers to the harvest, the picking of the Te'enim, the Korle Kayitz, the Fish Kayitz Naisim B'yad. It's called kayitz because they pick them, they cut them by hand. Now, if someone maybe could tell us exactly what's the relation between kayitz and yad, that I haven't gotten the connection exactly. Is there like a translation in that? Basically, I don't know.
That's what he's saying, the translation.
Yeah.
It means picking, you know, in other words.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm just like in the word. That's just what it is. That's he's telling us a definition. Kites, that's what it is.
Kites is cutting, and you cut with your hand.
I mean, it sounds like a little more specific. It's what he's cutting with the hand. Or I'm not sure if it's a cutting or it's a picking.
I mean, when the Ram says at the end, il. Alayde sakin bahahi chaticha mikrei.
It's not clear because it's showing them how to translate the word in place.
Okay.
Where the Ran goes with knives, the Rosh and the Batnur saves the mats.
Mm-hmm. So that's the Loshon of Miktsoyis, right? Miktsoyis. Now, even according to the Ran, Miktsoyes and kayetz seems to mean two different things, right? Because miktsoyes is specifically a knife, right, which is used really in a different process in the te'enim, right? You're cutting the gulei dvela. That's not how you get it off the tree, right? So you get off the tree is done by hand, right? And right, akoponim. Okay, fine. But so kayetz over here refers to a ktitza biyad. Ukatani is of the Ran. The kivan to Omar arakayitz actually hey actually yaschil ham hachnis b'kolos lo yoiser. It's only us until that point, which is that's the haschol fisha ends manikavu. Right, so this is an example, right, of the zeha cloud comes into play, that it's not manikavu how long it takes once this process starts, and therefore a person only means to ask himself at the beginning ad sheyachnis. And that seems to be akoponim. That's how I understood that was considered a defined time. The gathering of them. Now, zok the Mishnah weiter. Actually, yavra kaitz. If he specifically says actually yavra kaitz, over here there's no room really to explain otherwise. So he definitely means till it's finished. If he says that lotion, zok the Mishnah ad sheyak pilu hamiktsoyos. This is the miktsoyos, right? The miktsoyos, like we see in Iran. Ran tells us that in the harvest, in the processing of the te'enim, so they're first picked off the tree, and then they are made into gulei dvela, possibly they're dried in between. That's usually what we understand, that gulei dvela are dry, pressed dried figs. Okay, akoponim, but the end of the process is that they're made into gulei dvela, and then then in order to be, then they cut them, apparently, over here. They're not sold as, you know, the igdulim, I guess, are very large. So you have to cut into a package size pieces. So that's when they use these sakinim, which are called miktsoyes. So that's, and when the miktsoyes are yakpilu. Now the translation of yakpilu, I don't think the Ran tells us what that means. Actually, yikpilu hamaktsoyes. The Ran just tells us, I'm looking around now, and he tells the Mitzvahs are the Sakinim, Shem Yuchodim Lachtif HaHateinim Kishoyis Meheni Gulim. Right? Those are the knives which are used, specific type of knives which are used to cut the cakes of figs. Then the Kroa Mitzvahs. Okay, Ashrechon the Kori Kroa, the Sakin Mitzvahs, the Chsiv Yasu Yaseh B'Mitzvahs. Now, says the Ran, V'af Ha'i Gulim Atzim the Kroa and Kenal Shmon. And the igulim, we find in that the igulim themselves also are referred to as miktsoyes, but that's really comes from the fact that they're caught with these knives. That's how, like, it's like a sort of like a borrowed term.
Yakpilu, in at least in today's Hebrew, means to fold. So these knives, I imagine they were big knives, and then they just closed it.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's what I.
That's a possibility. The Mefarish over here says that actually machpilat ein shukotz bohen umatzni noisan, and I think he says like you're saying kmoi mekafmas akelim, right? That in Sechas Shabbos over there, right? That refers to taka, refers to folding begodim,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, right. So the akapon, the idea over here is that you put away the knives, right? Right, the folding of the knife. What do you say?
So my chavrusa point out,
yeah?
Which I missed, is that the Mishnah has yachpilu the kuf,
right,
and later it's with a chaf,
right.
And the way arts roll is one is folding and one is storing away. That's how he translates it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay.
Which one is that?
The yachpilu the kuf is folding. That's how he translates it in the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the bottom he says, until most of the towns. People's knives are stored away.
It's interesting to note that, you know, once in Midak Lishonis, that in the Mefarish, in the Mishnah itself, he has it with the Chof. Mm. Right? And he, he references the word yakpilu with a kuf, right, from the Moran Shabbos.
Okay, so that's in the Mishnah.
In the Mefarish on the Mishnah, yeah. So it would seem from there that maybe the chaf and the kuf are interchangeable, and they really mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth is that the word yakpilu, like, kuf is lashon to double over, so that would also right. would have the mashmah of a folding.
Right, yeah. Talk.
Right.
Yeah.
The Hagos Fitzion on the side who changes it from a half to a quote. We're in the
Mefarish? Or where is he changing? Well, he has it on the Gemara itself.
Oh, on that second Bryce on the bottom?
Yeah, he also has it somewhere else.
And he changes that half into a kuf.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay.
You know, when I was growing up, I didn't know why people were burning their pants, because they kept saying they're burning their britches.
Oh, yeah.
So I can see that maybe there were other stupid people like me back in those days, and they even in those days they didn't know if it was yikpilu or yikpilu.
the Ran also used the word matsnia as well as.
Oh, really? Where is that? Where is that Ran?
I'm sorry, the rock. The Mefarish.
The Mefarish.
He's using both, right?
You're saying he uses Matsneen also?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Matsneen means to put it away.
Right.
Nothing.
So when he said the article is, who's the article translating, the Mefarish or the Ran?
He's translating the Gemara.
Maybe he's going with that part of the Mefarish.
Again, on the Mishnah, actually, the way he has it on the Mishnah in the bolt, he says, until the harvesters fold their knives, and then not bold, meaning that he's not translating the words now, but it's blaming it, and storing them away, right? So, in other words, he seems to understand that, I mean, if I understand the art school correctly, he seems to understand that the two words, you know, can be
interchanged,
but they have different meanings, but they're referring to the same time as folding and storing away. So, you know, that's...
So that definitely is the intention of it. The season ends when these knives are put away, right?
So it seems to be that the making of these great veil was an integral part of harvest in everyone's mind.
Right. Right.
But he has a note. He says, the word, this is later, this is in the Gemara, even though he has a footnote here, he says, the word kafal, to double, spelled with the letter kuf, is used here interchangeably with kapal, to fold, spelled with the kuf. So, right, I guess.
Okay.
You have to wait till a mafarish comes out on the art scroll.
I mean, the Chora, first of all, I don't know how long it took. It seems like it probably took at least a few weeks to dry them out. And I mean, you have to pick the figs, you lay them out, you're drying them out. Even if they had some kind of a desiccant, some sort of salt, I don't know what they would use to dry it out. You know, I still assume it would take a while. You know, so if this is all part of the harvesting process, I guess I would also assume that the vast majority of figs were eaten that way. But that people thought of this as, you know, if this is the whole part of the harvesting process, that this is the way the vast majority eat. Okay, we'll eat a few fresh, but mostly we're drying them.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Saving them for the year.
Right. I would think so. Just as another point to the conversation that you just had before, I see that in the Rosh has just a slightly different point over here, how he talks about what Yachfil means. He says v'nechnosn sech katehen. Right, putting that into that, I guess it's called like a sheath or something like that. Right, that's what it means. That doesn't necessarily enough. That perhaps means that it folds, like we think about the pocket knife. You know, most knives that so I probably don't fold. I don't think so. But so maybe we hear a little bit better that's what it means. You know, this idea. Yeah,
it just moved. I'm not going to carry a knife with me.
Okay, fun. All right, Shen, whatever it is, well, we get the idea. Fine. Let's see. It's Lomazan.
Whatever you want.
Let's see the Gemara. Start the Gemara, yeah? Tana, Kakola Shomru, Kakola Shaltenla, Kakola Shanal Novim. The Mishnah says, right, that if a person says, Achiyagia, the Mishnah says, Lushanis of Kayitz. So the Mishnah said that is ad sheyagia. Ad sheyagia. What does it say over there? Lashon kalkola. Ad akayit. Ad shasalom lahachnis bekalkolis. Kalkolis, it seems to be some kind of basket that collects them. Zokta Bryce, so it's not clear in the mission exactly what species, right? What kind of fruit we're talking about. Zokta Bryce, so you know, even though the Ran told us, Zokta Bryce, Tayim Leka Kol Shala Novim. And like the Ran explains, right, because being that kite is a lotion of Yad, so it's the figs that are harvested biyad and the grapes not. Zokta Ran, kakol shalteinim shalafisha heniktosus biyad lekitosan kruya kites. Since they're harvested by hand, they're called kites. They're not cut with the hand. Elo ayde sakin. V'yichaticha mikaryo. Now let's just see it over here a little further. Zoch the Gemara, Tanya, Hanoide miperis akayitz. Okay, so this is a little different term point over here. Originally, it was the duration that he was at. He was asking chayis. Maybe he was asking drinking yayin in the chayis till that point of time of chayis. Now over here we're talking about that what he's asking is the type of peris, right? Miperis akayitz. So what does he also? Zok the Tanakama ain isa elabite enim, as we spoke until now, because Kais refers to Niktotzim Biyad, and that's Te'enim. Rishim Gamlil Oimer, Anovim Bechlal Te'enim. Anovim Bechlal Te'enim. Okay, it's an interesting way of expressing this. Anovim Bechlal Te'enim. We'll see in a minute. But Rishim Gamlil holds that Anovim are also Osir. My time with Hanakama, Kosova, 10 mix in the yoda, no mix in the yoda. Okay, like we understand till now, right? Shingam Lil Sova, Anov Nami Kim Mirdidon, Miktsos and the yoda. Shingam Lil says that there is a certain point, a situation, a point of time, where it is that boy grapes also that it's done the yad. Now we'll see exactly what Mirdidon does means over here. The Ran says that when it gets dry, so then it's, I guess, more brittle, so you could do a biyad. So that's why Reb Shimon Liel holds that this will include grapes also, because there is also a concept of tzitza biyad by grapes. So the machlekes over here seems to be that, you know, primarily grapes are not done biyad. There's a certain situation that then it's done biyad, and is it therefore bichlal the lotion of kayetz? That's what we meant to ask before. Shumlema anovim bichlal te'enim. Right, that lotion is a little hard lotion. Maybe it's just anovim bichlal kayetz, not bichlal te'enim. Right? Why is he saying it's bichlal te'enim? That maybe needs a little explanation why that's the right way to say it. Now, let's see the round. Just let's see the round over here. That last round. Anovim kimiridon miktsasim biyoda kishayivshu ukte ho anovim. When the stems of the grapes dry, afheim miktsasim biyad mikru. Afhem niktsotsin biyad mikru. They can be referred to as niktsotsin biyad because they are. You know, I was expecting him to say afhem niktsotsin biyad, period. Akoponim. But, and now like this, just if another man, yeah, just we have some farmers over here that could just tell us, just the Matthias over here, Nachum, you're good at this. Right. I think, like, we know that grapes are picked by clusters, right? So you're cutting the wood, you know, the branch, right? The cluster over there. Now, te'enim, are they also collected by clusters, or are they really, you know, removed one at a time? See, if that was so, then I would hear faster why that's the mitzvahs, right? You know, what, if you're pulling off, like, you know, right? You know, apple picking, like, you know, things that we're familiar with, right? You know, you're if you could reach it, you know, you could just pull off the hand, right? But a cluster of grapes, you know, when you know, it's you're cutting over this. You need a keli. You need something to cut it. Now this point of time, kishiyavshu ukse te'enim. Now I'm not sure what the ukse te'anovim means. What is the ukse anovim? Does that refer to the top of the cluster, that same spot which you would cut with a knife when it's fresh, but now when it dries, it's brittle, so you can just break it with your hand? Is that what it means? Or the uksim really refer to the part that goes into the grape itself, right? And at this point, you're picking individual grapes.
So here, I'm
not sure exactly. But
I asked the question here. It says, each fig ripens individually. So even when several are close together on the branch, because they don't all ripen at the same time, growers and gardeners harvest each fig individually.
Okay.
Usually by hand.
Okay. Okay.
So that...
Okay.
So maybe that's...
Good. Raises another question. Didn't we see... Isn't it the Masumah says that figs have multiple harvests?
Right, therefore they're not high in paya.
Right. So how do we understand a single point in time here? Is it the last time in the year when they're all being harvested?
So how long is that measure zman? That they ripen. It could be just like a couple of weeks, you know. And compared to the whole process, so it's not necessarily such a big difference, you know. It has to do just with the actual picking stuff. You can't just pick up a whole thing. You have to see what's what. So at one time, but even if they theoretically would ripen a week or a few days, then that would be enough to explain that. Yeah, okay, now I want to point out another point over here like this, is that it would seem over here, as we have Rav Shimon Amliel who relates grapes to kites, but it sounds like he's only arguing when he talks about peiros, right? But if a person answers ad hakayit, doesn't sound like that there's a machlekes about that which what harvest we're talking about. Like the first braisa, tonok hakol shomer kakol shel te'enim lekakol shel anovim. No machlekes there, right? Right, but when you talk about peiros hakayit.
Is that a fair deal to say because the braisa doesn't bring down the machlokas? If it brings down the machlokas in one spot, do we expect all braises to?
It sounds like there's two different braises here, right?
If one braisa has a machlokas and one is just quoting one shita, can we be medayik that the other shita isn't chalik?
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to doubt the diuk, then we're not gonna push it. But okay. That's again. I guess that's the first step, right? Is that in order that we shouldn't have to make chalukim, maybe we could doubt the diuk.
You're saying what the Rabbi Shimon Bar Gamliel would say would be usher until you take all the grapes. If you said out a Chiyav or a Kayat, let's say.
I'm just saying. I'm raising the possibility that we might not know what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says. In other words, could be that it's true that he's only calling in the second price, not the first, but I don't know if we have a support to that.
Okay, so we could deal with both possibilities, right? Now, were we able to make the diik, right? Then it would seem like he's only arguing when you know the peiros hakayit. When you're saying peiros hakayit, then the question over there is that what kind of pre did you answer? So that's where he says that including in that would be anovim because there is a concept of kayit by anovim. That's specifically if you're talking about a certain min.
But it's interesting. It seems like the grammar of the word kayet changed. Meaning, in the Mishnah, we were using it to mean it was like a process and a time. Ad shiavor kayet, and so it was this cutting of the figs. And that included the whole process of harvesting them.
Right.
But here, okay, when he says peirots hakayits, he seems to be using it as a verb. That's the way he's understanding it.
Okay.
Peiros that are cut. Not peiros of the kayits. in the kayitz was the harvesting of the figs. It seems like I don't think anybody argued on that. Nobody called the harvesting of grapes. They had a different word for that, right? That was the butzer, right? They had butzer was harvesting of the grapes. Nobody called, and hakayitz referred to the harvesting of the tanim. Nobody thought that hakayitz referred to the harvesting of the. So I think the machlokas there is when somebody says peros hakayitz, is it referring to peros of this harvesting of kayitz, which was te'enim, everybody knew that was te'enim, or does it mean peros that are cut, peros hakayitz, shemakayitzim otam?
Mm-hmm. Now, according to what you're saying, just to get a little more specific, so but would that require the grapes to have been picked by hand? Only those grapes you're offering, or in general, you could refer to grapes even if you any kind of even a botzer harvest, because grapes in general have a reference to kites, or kites could relate to them. Okay, I don't expect you to have a problem. Yeah. It's just supposed to be, when we start talking like that, we could. What does he say? Anov mechal tainim.
Right, he doesn't be mechalik. I could hear that why you would be mechalik.
Miktisa biyado. Yeah. And therefore, what do we mean? You know, do we need that or it has a there's a place for kites by grapes. So then now grapes in all instances would carry them also the shame as peris hakayitz. Yeah, that's what I originally thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you're saying good. Yeah, I think you're saying good explanation. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. That's, you know, all if you accept the deek. If you don't accept the deek in the first place, then we have a new machlokes. You know, the machlokes will extend to that first case also.
And would you understand for this that they didn't have apples and peaches? Because those would be picked like Tainim and then
yeah,
apples today
and
as well.
What?
Do they have apple trees today as well?
I think so. In the Golan, like colder areas, I think. Peaches, I think for sure they grow. Oranges. Oranges for sure they grow.
But with the Paris Gnoiser. they were some kind of, also some kind of individual fruit, seems to be.
Very true.
Does it
make any relevance that the figs and grapes are picked in the relatively same time period, August, September?
Originally, if you look at Rishon Gamliel, you might have thought that that's what he meant, that the peros hakayitz is any peros that come at that time of the year when the figs are being harvested, but because of the end of it, it doesn't seem like it means that way. It says, I mean, because they dry and then you can pick them individually, it seems like his tam is just a different tam that doesn't have to do with when they're coming. It has to do with how they're picked.
Yeah.
I think that just seems to be much more that way.
The first scene says what you said.
Oh, yeah.
He asks the question of what's the chiddush of the brisa. It seems to be just repeating, you know, already. And he gets into, it's about...
He's referring to which, the first brisa?
And then he brings a question from the Shittim Mekbetzes, so showing him overpowered by this. And he brings up your point about the, whether Machlik is a Tanakh of Shemuel, how far it goes. And says it seems to be the Farish is very clear that there is a Mach, that he expands the Machlokes of Tanakh and Shemuel. I don't see it in the Farish, but he says the Farish says it, I don't see where. And then he says what you said, that because the harvesting time is the grapes are immediately after the figs, so you could have thought that Tanakh would agree that he means to be Machma and extend the time of his vow until the end of the grape picking.
That's going on the Tanna Kama, though.
Yeah.
Not in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, Shkoyev.
Okay, that's, I had another question. Wanted to ask before.
Right, oh yeah.
We said Kalkala means basket, right? Right? But we say Al-Michel, Kalkala, Vatnuva, Sasada. What does Kalkala mean over there? Al-Michel, Kalkala. Does it mean basket over there too?
No. Over there, that's not right.
It's not,
it's really refers to... It really refers to what the benefit of the fruit is. Means to support, to give a livelihood.
So I see.
Just like the idea of Al-Hamichya, right? That's what Michya is. Nutrition gives life, right? That's the nutrition that the food offers.
Possibly the etymology is that all comes to the shorish of the word kol, which means everything, and mechel means something which contains everything. That's what Kalkal is, basket. Because it contains everything, therefore it sustains you.
Okay, that's nice. Okay, Lomazen. Zok the Gemara. Yeah, we're up to the two dots over here on the bottom. Achiyavar, this is talking about when he specifically says Achiyavar, Kaitz, Achiklam, Mitzoyus, Tona, Achiyach, Pilu, Roiv, Hamitzoyus. The Bryce over here adds that the ending of the season of Kaitz, which the Mishnah spoke about, Yakfila HaMektzoyes, face putting away, whatever exactly, of the Mektzoyes, the Brisa says, Roiv HaMektzoyes, right? Now this over here maybe needs a little explanation, right? Actually, Roiv HaMektzoyes. Now, what's this Roiv going on, right? Roiv. So I would think that at first glance, it would seem to be Roiv, Roiv of the people, Roiv of the harvesters, right? If maybe someone has a different translation on that. Shlomo, you always have another way of looking at it, right?
I don't want the Rav to get nervous, but that's how I understood it also.
Okay. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, you know, you want to know when the season is over, when most people put it away. Okay, fine. You know, we could use a roiv to end the season. Right.
But didn't you say miktos meant sakinim?
Right.
So why don't we mean that they're putting away most of their knives?
Oh, okay. So this is the alternative. I was looking for someone saying another translation.
What
of
was
roiv.
The first way of saying?
No, most people put away all their knives, and he's saying that all people put away most of their knives. I think that's what I understood.
Well, no.
What?
So we're saying Rov Hamaktov. Most of the people put away the knives.
Oh, so that's
if you have 100 people and
okay, that is what he said. That was the original translation. Yeah. That's what he said. Okay, so you're not saying most of the knives. You're saying most of the people put away their knives.
Yeah, most of the people put away their knives, which is the same thing, no? Most of the people put away their knives, or most of the knives are put away by the people, is the same thing.
Well, we ask Michael and show him about the statistics, whether that has to be the same thing. It might not be.
I wouldn't think that somebody's putting away some of their knives and not all of their knives.
Only if a person has only one knife, then it's the same number. But
I mean, even if you have a manufacturing facility, I mean, you know, you got 10 knives and you're doing this in mass, you know, I mean... All right, maybe you'll say, okay, let's put away, we don't have that much left, so put away 9 of the knives and leave one out.
Yeah.
I mean, if the whole reason is because we assume that he's mafkir at that point.
Okay, right.
Right, so, Louis Yitzhak put away nine of his knives, but he still has, you know, one that he carries around with him. So clearly he hasn't,
hasn't finished yet. Right. Okay. But I want to get that in a minute. about this. Okay, but we just like to say, as far as the mission is concerned, we're talking about when the neder is over. The neder is over at the end of the season, so this braisa tells us there's a roiv, and we're translating right now, roiv means roiv people, right? Roiv people put away their knives, that's when the season ends. Which as we're saying, that, you know, we could accept that. I don't know if I would have said that without the braisa. Toward the ending of the season, you know, I don't know, 51% would be enough to say that the season's over.
That's what I was going to ask. That is it rov mamish or like rov? He said 95% before. Is that to be rov a nicker?
Okay.
You said 95%.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. All right. So I mean, that leaves us a little, you know, rov hamiktzayis. And, you know, I would have rather to have it leave that cooler, and you make, you know, 95 is cooler rather than to say roiv, and you mean 95, right? Okay, but it'll become relevant in the next halacha that we talk about over here. Zok the Brais, ton hukul rev hamitzayis mutaris mishum gezel tuz bin amayser. At the point of hukul rev hamitzayis, zok the Brais over here a different halacha that in the Ran explains to us that it.
So the Farish seems to learn it very differently. He seems and also we use the word katsiris to refer to the fruits themselves, the cut figs. And it's interesting that he seems to be the way I'm understanding the Farish, he's translating maktsuris as figs. It doesn't really you don't fold the figs.
See, in the Mishnah, the Mefarish explains, Omer Achiyavra HaKayetz, also Achiy Yukpulu HaMiktsoyes. He talks over there, Sakina, right?
Right.
Now this Braisa really is explaining that the Mishnah. So let's see, say, so this Achiy Yukpulu Roiv HaMiktsoyes, so I would wonder whether that Mefarish might go on the next braisa.
Right. So he says inside the Sheikh.
To the next braisa, right? To the halacha.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah.
So when the Ran is saying, when the Mefarish is saying that, maybe he's not translating Miktsoyes. He's just giving you.
What's motor?
Right.
That's not a big problem.
Okay. Yeah. So the Brayson tells us like this, and the Ran explains that they're hefker at this point. Right, mutaris mishum gezel. That means people could take it, and you're not over gezel. And the pturis min hamayser, and that's because they're hefker. Shemesiayishin heim mashinisha besodem. Grada over here, the Ran himself, right, it talks Echnisu Roiv Hamik Tsuois.
I just a pashtus just entered my head. Perhaps the people who actually own the figs didn't do this. You had professional, you know, cutters who went around, and you know, the individual guys who had fig trees did not have their own knives or the ability to do this, and therefore they were like meshubed to these other people. So once those people were gone, our season's over. Now everybody is really going to be, because you really can't get anybody to come and cut your figs anymore. So now they're going to be mafker them. And because I think we wanted to say before, what if this guy still got his knife out? And he still has his knife out. He's still planning on doing his figs. Why are his hefker? Just because other people put theirs away.
What's hefker over here? Are the fig cakes are hefker, or the figs which are left in the field are hefker?
The figs are left in the field.
Okay.
But if he still has his knife out, then why should his figs be saying, "I'm still collecting them. I'm still mashing them together. I'm still doing. I got my knife out."
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, let's see. I think that was the question over here. That why is it that right, Roiv, the people who still have their knives, why are their things hefker? Well, why is a Roiv help for that? Why is a Roiv help for that? Monoshoch, I mean, is that totally on the cutting of the fig kegs or not? Right? You know, if it is, then all those people who didn't put away the knives are not finished. Why are theirs hefker? Why are there hefker? That was... Right, that was the initial question to ask over here. So what do you say on that?
Because once a person knows that there's like a circular reasoning here that I think works.
Yeah.
Once you know that most people put it away, so you know that people are going to come in the field and start taking it. You know, is he ready?
And why are they coming?
Because, you know, everybody knows.
You're saying it's circular logic. No, yeah. Because we said most are over, and therefore people can come in, so now I know they're going to come also into my field, so I have to get everything done by the time everybody else is done.
So, like, there could be something. There could be a point over here that the first step over here is this right? You could do that. Could you? Okay, I'm not so sure if this is really right. But let's say, you know, the halacha over here is that huchplu roiv, you could do it. You could go in, right? So maybe we can understand that the heter is because you could assume that this field is from the roiv, right? You know, that's where that comes from, right? There's in Achanami. Avada those who didn't are not hefker. Right.
Now, hold on a second. Do we say Rove by moment?
Okay, so that
okay.
That was the whole.
Okay,
right,
fine.
Right.
I'm learning something because I know we should talk about that before.
If that helps, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say Rove by moment.
What?
I never heard of this before. You don't say Rove by moment. Ein halchum
mom nachar Rove. Machis rabbit shmu. Right. That machlekes.
So, what case is that used in?
What?
What's a classical case where we say that in Holchim Mamanachar Rov?
You know, if you have some kind of statistics over here, I think the Gemara talks about if a sale was made, right, and most people, right, and the conditions weren't spoken out. Most people sell an animal for this purpose, right? And it turned out that the animal wasn't good for that, wasn't really for that purpose, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Akoponim. Okay, right. So that would be that we need to get around over here, right? If that's what this means. We'll see later. Maybe again, this point will come up in the Gemara, but about this idea that is this the halacha that once roiv sushain, you know, then that's the din. You know, everyone's miayish, and you know, you can't even say you weren't, right? You know, it affects everyone, right? Or it's only, you know, because it's based on the fact that we assume that people were miyayish, but you know, if you could clarify otherwise, or if your time is otherwise, then maybe in a chanami. But what you're asking is good. That it's a little hard. You know, why is a roiv enough for a person to go and take it, to rely on a roiv? How would that work with the halacha of mominus in hoch mom nachar haroiv?
I mean, we're saying three different shitas at this point. One is that,
yeah. Well,
one is that this idea of this questionable idea that rove people were mafgir, so now you can assume that it's rove. That's one. The second is that we sort of force them to be mafgir because rove people have done. We kind of say, okay, we make you be mafgir. And the third is that we assume that people are mafker because most have put it away.
So this second thing, then I'm not sure what that is.
I thought that's what you were saying.
No, right? Yeah. Well, I don't know if I was saying that. Before she to be mafker. Let me just think how I was understanding. I don't know if I meant to say they force you to be mafkir. I don't know if we could force you to be mafkir. I was probably talking about the fact that we tell you that you were mafkir, meaning to say that, you know, like the similar kind of concept. And I don't know what it has to be, but the sisters Musa get as you have by over there by Zuta Shalyam, right? That you have certain situations where minastam we could assume that a person's biyash, and even like you know if the tide takes your thing into the ocean, right? And you know and spits it back, right? And he says, yeah, I was never biyash, you know. So that Mr. Shah learned the Gemara there, but Kipshuta, what that means is that we assume that you biyash, because such a thing like it's not coming back, right? So this thing that happened to come back was a chiddush. And even if he says, I wasn't Miyayish, you know, we say that you were. Right? That's what I was referring to, some kind of concept like that. Right?
Is that, that's what you understand? That we tell him, because, I don't know if this is different. The way that I would have understood Zutel Sholiam is that because he doesn't have access to it, he's not physically capable of getting to it right now, and he doesn't know whether he will be capable of getting to it. It's not like it's vade that it's going to come back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, even if he's yelling after and saying, I'm not Menayish, I'm not Meayish, still there's Yush, because he has no particular way to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Part of ownership is the ability to control it. And it was out of his control, so whether he had Yeish or not, it's out of his control.
That's really the two ways to understand over there, right? Either the is that you actually Yeish, or even though you were Yeish, Rachman after it, right?
Oh. Okay.
And which come from basically like you're saying, right? Because you know, your ownership is weakened, right? It's, you know, you don't. The situation itself is mafkir your ownership, right? That the lack of control, right, is a contradiction to ownership.
Yeah. Which wouldn't be shayach in this situation.
Yeah, so regardless, it's not shayach in this situation, right? Yeah. So the technicality is a little harder to see what would bring us to that point, right? I was just talking about the end over here. Like, what is it over here? Is that somehow that it is hefker, even though you're saying that? There is a hefker, but it's hard to understand why that should be. Well, what?
I mean, can we get a hint from from our sigi where we have Rav Yossi bar Rav Yehuda, who's like it says right, kasavar mishum sinius milso who the kamar had
hadin
gabra right.
So that's what I was referring to. The Gemara later on, right? And we'll see. Let's get there, okay. And then we'll see how anyone understood what was happening over there. Right? Rakapan, okay, so that's something that needs a little bit of explanation over here, that why is it that Roiv Matsniim, right, that's seeming to be, you know, now it's Minastam, Akapan, seems to be Chal Halochim in general, that it's Mutoris Mishum Gezel. You could go around and you could take it, and then it's Potom Ramaisis, and it's Hefker. Misgai Shemima Shinisha Besode, Acha Shekoplu Vechnisu Roiv Hamitsoyes. Now, there's just maybe one other way of maybe understanding this in a simpler way, which means as follows: like this, is that the process we're saying is you're picking it, you know, you dry it, whatever it is, make it into cakes, then you cut it, right? So the cutting is, you know, it's pretty much down the line, right? So it's possible maybe to understand like this, that the yikbalu roiv, you know, the fact that your knife is around is not necessarily an indication, you know, that you're still even if you have your, even if not, it's, you're far down in the process to go back and to go get the things that are in the field, not necessarily. So that's maybe could be that, that there is a certain point that when Roiv Mitzoya is, then that taka applies to everyone. Right? Because, you know, it's not really such a claim that, well, I still have my knife, you know, so I'm still here, right? Granted, you have your knife, but, you know, but you did that process, you know, 4 weeks ago, right? Okay. Yeah. Akopans, let's see. Zog to Gimor. Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda, Iklu Lahal Asra, Bisman Shkulu Rebbe Mitzoyus. That they came to a place that after this, the end of the season was here, and the halacha is that we said that it's in Torah Shem Gezel. Rabbi Habakkuk Ocher, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Ocher. He's eating from the teanim that are on the field, and Rabbi Yehuda not. Also, Marein Omar Luhu Amay Lo Ocher Rabbonon. So the Baal HaSada comes and he sees. Looks like that they're both not eating. He asked them, "Why are you not eating? Why are you not eating?" Hochpulu Roiv Hamitzoyisu. Zok to Gemara Vapikain Loy Ochlo Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. Even though the owner came by, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda still held himself back from eating. Zok to Gemara Kasavim from Sani Yismilzu Huda Kama Hadengav. He was not so convinced. And the point of the Gemara is that. It would sound like the more on the screen is maybe Kolzman, the owner, is not here. There's a mokum this topic about this, but once the owner himself came and he told them that, you know, it's past this point, you know, so it's mut for you to eat. So why is he not eating on that? I think Mar says that he wasn't convinced from what the owner said. On the contrary, mishum sani is milsuhu de ko'omar. Zokteran, what does that mean? Sanius Milsa Mipne Roya Leiv. Roya Leiv. I think this is the Samach and the Sin, maybe, like, you know, are interchangeable in Aramaic, in this, that. Maybe it's Lashon of Sin, back upon it, it's a Roya Leiv. Loimar Kvar Hitata Moisel Ma'atzmechem. Back upon it, the person was not saying this in a positive way. He really was sort of saying it sarcastically, and what he was concerned that maybe the person was saying is as if to say that, you know, you decided a heter for yourself, but it's really not mutter. Now this Gemara, right, is referring to that it would sound like, I mean, the fact is that it was after Hopul Reiv Hamitzayis, and it would sound like that Rabbi Yossi was concerned that maybe this person wasn't mafia, even after he said, like the Mora tells on, you know, he was saying Merel Avava, but he didn't really mean to say that it was hefker. So it would sound like the person maintained his tainos. And therefore there was a way of understanding what he was saying. If he was saying it in this fashion, Mishum Sanius Milsa, so maybe Taka would be also. Right, so this would seem to be that in Ochnami, even though it was Hopul Reiv Hamitzoyis, but if someone specifically says that I wasn't, then maybe it doesn't apply to him. Right, and that would be Mashma, therefore, that, you know, this whole idea is maybe you could assume that he was that he's from the Roy. But if he tells us that he wasn't, then there's yesh lachshish. That's what this chesh movie mashma. That's what he wanted to show us. Someone wanted to maybe say over here that maybe that's not what it was, but it was more that Rabbi was concerned that being that they were Talmidei Chachamim, so they didn't want to create a Chil Hashem, and if the owner had some kind of taina on it, so, you know, that's what he was concerned about. You know,
it assures it.
Yeah, right. That's what it was. Right, maybe in, you know, the Ikar Hadin maybe was Takam Mutter. Maybe that's what that means. Mm-hmm. Okay, akoponim. So there's still what to be mavar over here, if the Eilim has the chance to clarify further on this. Okay, let's see a little bit of something more. Rabbi Chomer bar Chnin, bar Chnin, Eichel Hulga, Asher, Bismarck, Lurav, Mitzoyes, Havako Ochel, Yov, Lashamer, Loyochel. He's eating. Shamei is not eating. Not eating. Interesting. Right? Omalei, Echel, Kachomel, Rabbi Shmo, Rabbi Yasi, Mishum Oviv, Hukbulu, Rav, Mitzoyes, Mitzoyes, Mishum Gezel, Pisman, Meiser. So Meiser Rav, the Gemara Sisengo brings a Meiser about this. A Kabbalah from Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yosi Mishum Aviv to this halacha, it's mutter Mishum Gezel Turus Min Amayis.
Can you eat after that? Why is the Gemara telling me this story?
Right. What is it adding from the Brayis?
There's a story in Shabbos, I think. Somebody came to Rava, I think, asked him about hanging out his clothes, and Rava said, it's mutter. I think it was Rava. And he said, oh, but I don't need them for Shabbos. You know, he had a whole thing why he should be machmer, and eventually Rava said, okay, for everybody else it's mutter, and for you it's usher. The Gemara seems to come out that you're not supposed to not listen to your Rav when he gives you a heter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the question here is, you know, if he gave him, I don't know. I'm wondering what the Gemara is trying to tell me here.
Right. I mean, once you're raising that, I think that we had in the past, if you can remember where this was. That not supposed to be noig, to be machmi more than the rav. So if the rav is eating, then it's like you don't trust the hechsher, the rav, go to the rav's house and I don't eat this hechsher, that's a zilzin, it's covered. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara of Tarif and Ashkei Hogav of Bisman Shehupu Amitzoyis Tkaochel. Right, Rav Tarfon took an interesting situation over here. The Gemara tells us before, Rav Tarfon was very wealthy. I don't know what he was doing in the fields, eating tainim. Akoponim, I guess, whatever. Yeah, but so Rav Tarfon, he was found by the owner of a field. Rav Tarfon was eating the tainim. La'acha shehuchpulu miktsois. The halach is that it's hefker. The owner of the field found him. He wasn't too happy with the fact that Rav Tarfon was eating his te'enim. Ach se besako v'shakle v'amtayel mishadio b'naro. So the owner, he gets him into a sack. He throws the sack over him and he starts carrying him and he tells him that he's going to throw him into the Nor for stealing. Omar. So Rav Tarfon expresses to himself as he's being carried, Oiloi le Tarfon shezeh horgoi. Shon hu gabo. So the person who's carrying over, he heard that in the sack is Rav Tarfon. So he got startled from that the Yoyis Tam L'chochem, Rav Tarfon, he's taking to kill him. Shaf gave orax. He left then and ran away. Zoktimor Omer Rabbi Avohu Mishum Rav Chananya Ben Gamliel Kol Yom Shlois Tzadikum Nistar Al Dor Zeh. The rest of Reb Tarfon's life, this episode bothered him. Omer Oilish and Ishtamashi Bekisu Shol Torah. Woe to me! What's going to be that I did something wrong? Shnishtamashi Bekisu Shol Torah. I use the Keser Shel Torah, meaning to say that he saved himself with the Keser Torah. But Tarfon, this that person let him go because Tarfon was the Adam Godel, was the greatest Talmud Chacham, was the Godel, the Keser Shel Torah, and it bothered him the fact that he saved himself with the Kishra Shul Torah. But Amar Rabbi Bechon, Amar Biyechon, Kol Mishamsh, the Kishra Shul Torah, Nek Mino Ilam, Kal Vuchoymer, Ma Bel Shatza, Shin Ishtamsh, Kolei Kodesh, Shinas Hu Choyl. Akav v'chayim b'oshatz that he used the Kli Beis Hamikdash after they already became chol shenem avo bo pritzim v'chileluha kivin sheparitzim nasal choyel that there's a halacha that if I'm not mistaken, I think this it's halacha maybe in kibush, whatever at a certain point, whatever, at a certain status, that the kelim, that the kedushas hakelim is paka, bo pritzim to the mokom hamikdash v'chilulu the mechalel, and the chilul means that they mafgir the kedusha. Kibush sheporsum nasu choil. Nevertheless, that means that at the time that he was mishtamish with them, he's nekam in ha'olam. The chsiv bo belel yakotel b'shatza. He's like this. It's a little point over here that they took the kalim, right? They captured the kalim. And that capturing was mafkia the kedusha. That's point number one. Now Belshazzar uses them, right? And Bel Belayi, he's killed. He's punished. Now, just one could just be memory. Maybe speak this through. I don't know the specifics of the story. But two things happen over here, right? You know, there was bo pritzim v'chileluha. That was one thing that there was a hafkos hakdusha, right? In that, right? The kelim were neschal. Step number one, and then afterwards that they were used. Now, was Belshazzar involved in that in step number one or not? Right? If he wasn't, then I hear the Gemara better, because what I just mean to be a question like this is that what was the reason why he was killed? Two things happen over here, right? There was a violation of the kedusha, right, itself, and then there was the usage of the kalim, right? So which one of these two is what he was punished for, right? So if he was only involved in step number two, then we understand what the Gemara is saying, right? That definitely he was only involved in hishtamshus hakelim. At that point already, they were very nischalo. So then we have the basis of the kal v'chomer over here. Right? Maybe that's poshut. That's what it was. Maybe he was. You know, I don't know the story so exactly. Who was the?
It was
Nebuchadnezzar. Was the one who did it. He brought it back. Yeah. Okay. So maybe that's what it was. Okay. So then chamer. That's the chesed. Right. Right. So he definitely was killed because he was a mishtamish, and that the Gemara says that his mishtamishus was already after was nischalo, and the fact that there used to be the clay mikdash, right? That's why he was killed, because he's mishtamish in the kelim hamikdash. They still carry the status of kelim hamikdash. Novos, they haven't been a schal now, right? They don't carry the kedusha, but they're still the kelim hamikdash that he's been mishtamish, and he's killed. This kol shekein zokta gemara hamishtamish kedusha torah shehu kayum loylam void. Alachas kamu v'kamu. That's something that's mishtamish b'kishul chutoro, while, right, that's something which is not a schal at all, is all the more so that he'll be nekem in ha'ilam adav v'chomer, and that's what Rav Tarfon was very concerned about. Shem. That's the ma'is. Zot the Gemara like this. Rav Tarfon, kivin d'chi ochel d'uplu roiv ha'mikzoyis have amai tzayre ha'hu gavron. Right, the Gemara, that what did Taka the Baal HaSod want from him? What did he want from him? Mm-hmm. What did he want from him?
By the way, what's this question tell us about the earlier stories? Meaning, when we are Hoshesh for Sneas above, so the answer right here. Oh, he wasn't Mafker.
So very good. So I was thinking that akoponim, but being that the halacha allows it, so that shouldn't be a reason to catch someone as a ganav. You could tell him, listen, you know, I grabbed what's mafkir, please stop. But you know, to assume, you know, that he's a that you know that Yenis Aganov, I mean, okay. You know, he has the halacha on his side, l'chayr. Zot Gemara. So the question is on the Ba'as Sode, right? That's the question. Right? Why is Ba'as Sode accusing him over here of doing something wrong? Zot Gemara Mishum Dahahu Havu Gan Vele Invi Kulishato. This person was suffering from thieves throughout the entire season. Envy, kushatav kim nashkalev tarfen savarahu the ganvan.
What's envy mean?
Envy are the grapes, right? So right, maybe this is support to what you're saying, right? That the grapes, it's grape season and the tannin season, you know, sort of overlap. Yeah. So this person, he's suffering from you know this ganav that sneaks in the middle of the night and you can't catch him, you know, and he lost all his grapes right over the whole season. Finally, you know, he sees there's someone there, right? So he quickly that's why the person was grabbing him, because he thought that he was the ganav of the entire season, which you know then there's no heter on there, right? That's real ganavim. If so, I might see nafshei. If that's so, let's hear. I don't know if the man speaks that over here, the Cheshna Gemara. Right? Let's hear. The Gemara asks, if so, oh, now that you're telling me this, now I don't understand anymore, Reb Tarfon, why Reb Tarfon was upset at himself. Right? So let's understand this. Right? What happened over here? That means that until this point, right? Until we thought that the whole thing was that the person caught him taking the te'anim right now, then we understand why Rav Tarfon was upset at himself by using the Kisro Shel Torah to save himself. But now that he was being accused of stealing the entire season. Now the Gemara says, one second, so now I don't understand anymore why Reb Tarfon's upset at himself.
Right? Himself.
Right? Yeah. So what changed? I mean, regardless, he has to save himself, right? Right? I mean, this person is... right? So what point in the story changed? I mean, the story is the same story, that someone was carrying him to kill him, right? And that... We didn't have a problem before that, you know, you saving your life, you know, you're allowed to do that. That was not, that the Gemara didn't ask that question. So it doesn't have to do with saving of the life, right? Because that didn't change in the story. What changed in the story was that what he was being accused for. Now, originally it was thought that he was just accused from right now taking some of these ta'anim, right? So if that was the story, then we understand why Reb Tarfon was upset at himself, and he unjustly used the Kisro Shel Torah to save himself. But now, things changed, right? Now, so what changed? What changed in the story over here? Because he accused him for a bigger geneva? What's the difference? The Ran talks about that, right? This is the Ran. Let's see the Ran. You see the Ran? Let's see the Ran. Zok the Ran, Ihochi Reb Tarfon, Amayt Sir Navshe. That's the Ran over here. You see the Richtin Ran, he's come to explain the Ihochi, right? What is the dependency over here? This question, is raised now. So the Ran says as follows, Yam Bishlomo, till this point that we were talking, do I have a copy of Gavra Elahi Shaita? That this person was only, the owner of the field was only, his claim was because of what was happening right now. The fact that he sort of tarfen taking some tzius, then we understand why tarfen was upset at what he did. That it wasn't necessary for him to use the Kisro Shel Torah. He could have told him, Reb Yid, one second, you know, they're mutter, I'm allowed to do what I'm doing. And even if the person would not accept that explanation, he should pay what he took. So it wasn't necessary for him to use the Kisro Shel Torah to save himself. So that we understand why Reb Tarfon was upset that that's what That's what happened. That ended up that the Kisra Shel Torah was what saved him. Ela i'amrit to kula shata havagam. But now the Gemara was mechadish that he was accused of stealing the entire season. Eli amrit to kula shata havagam vele envy. My havla meva their tarifin. What else? There's now there's no other choice. V'chi havale l'shlume d'mei tuva d'loy mechayev b'hu. Now, at this point, this person is accusing Bertarfen that he was stealing, and it was a very large amount of money that he was accusing him of, that stealing the payers from the entire season. So that the Gemara is asking that already, you know, that over here. We view it as that he doesn't have a choice, because right? It's so much a large amount of money. He's that the din wouldn't require him not to use Kisra Shel Torah and pay a lot of money that he really doesn't owe. That was the Gemara's question.
So should we assume that they actually had this conversation, Tarfon and this person? How did Tarfon know that this was what was going on?
That's a good point. I guess, the same way we know, I guess, that also would have known, right?
Yeah, maybe he's carrying him. Oh, you're my grape, stealing my grapes the whole year. I'm throwing you in the river.
Right. So it
wasn't a conversation as much as
a
lecture.
Communication.
Right. Yeah.
According to the maskan of the sugya, in other words, we're asking what the habamina of the conversation was, right? Cause
what do you mean with that?
Because according to the Maskana, he felt bad that he had the wherewithal to pay any amount, so we know why he was mitzta'er, is that whatever the number was, he was able to cover it and not use the Kisra Shel Torah.
What's bothering you?
Okay, I mean, so Shlomo is saying it's sad of Tarfon that it wasn't relevant because he had the ability to pay, so he was mitzad. Actually, because whatever value would have been, you know, it's.
Well, he didn't have to know about the grape issue. He just could have said,
whatever this person
thinking. Let me go, I'll give you $50,000, or whatever the number would be.
Oh, okay, that's another point. He wasn't even saying that. Yeah. But I'm saying, even if he was being accused of a large amount, right? Yeah, same idea. Huh. Same idea. Right. But I was saying that I guess, because the Gemara was coming from a different point, right? That what was the person's, why was he accusing Reb Tarfon? So the Gemara says that he was coming because of he was suffering that. So I mean, unless we had some other information on it, maybe we found it afterwards. I was assuming that we got this whole part of the story. Reb Tarfon was the one who told it over to us, and that's how we know that it was given over to Reb Tarfon.
In general, when you talk about like how much money you need to spend for a mitzvah, right? So for a lois hasei, you go spend every penny. For an essay, for a lois hasei, not to be over lois hasei, you have to give up everything. And for an essay, you have to do a shlish, of your assets, or a shlish of, right, of the value of what you buy.
Right.
So this seems to be like not an essay, it's just it's a kavakom. You see, this is what Hashem wants, so therefore spend what you can. It seems like a very grey area.
Right. I mean, it looks like this din over here is that if you have another option, right, now at what point is considered another option, like you're saying, right? That's dependent on each person's different, what's considered a viable, another option, rather than being mishtamish b'kisra shel Torah.
Right. So this seems like a very fundamental, hadrocha for life, like doing the right thing, spend as much as you reasonably can afford, and after that you can take a different route. Even though it's going to result in zilzul Torah and...
I'm going to suggest, I hear you, Derek, I'm going to suggest maybe a different Derek, is that really he was mutter, really he was mutter to use Kitros Torah. It's just that he himself was bothered, that he was gonna lose a certain amount of schar, even though he was mutter to do it, but he himself, like, lifnim mishuras adin, I shouldn't have said lose a little bit of scar. I don't want to say it that way. I don't want to take that to be feedback. That he...
You don't want to have this thing that he's causing this zilzul to the Torah.
Right, right. That he felt in himself that he really had a different option. He wasn't thinking right about the situation. And he relied on something that, even though he was mutter to do it, and maybe he's not going to lose out at all, but he felt that... he should have taken a different option because it really wasn't a lot of money, you know, because he had another option.
So, because for him, 50,000 was not a big deal.
Right, yeah. Something like that.
So, it's a flimish resident.
I'm suggesting okay, we'll that see, is a different derech.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying it's not subjective to the person's assets. It's like, what's a normal amount of money to pay for this? And whether you can afford it or not, that's what you should be doing. And the fact that, so it's really up to him, he could have.
Right,
because 50,000 is not
much. One is that depending on your matzav, you might have a different din. You might have an actual different din. The other is you don't have a different din, but if you have an option to be mechabed the Torah more and to go lifnei mishur hadin, then you know, and you're a person who's matzav Torah, then, you're going to feel bad that you didn't take the different derech. No?
So you think there's two possible ways to understand this?
That's what I think. There might be a third way.
Climbing towards one of those?
I don't know. I really don't know. There's a lot of... I've got a lot of questions on the sugya.
Real life is so much gray area. We have to decide what's the right approach to take. You know? It's not always clear cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this, in money, it's very difficult. in the actual world, that people have a lot of difficulty parting with their money.
Yes. Especially in a society where that is how we value people, is by them.
Yeah.
And we squirt them.
Yeah. I mean, look at Elon Musk, right? He's bothered by the fact. Is he ever going to spend $700 billion or $200 billion? It's a measure of his value.
Yeah.
That's what it is to him.
Right.
And I mean, not just him. 100%. He gets it from...
I once heard a schmooze from a Friedlander that...
That
in our sugya, you see that people, leave a field behind, and then all the stuff is hefker. And right, I had a friend that once went to the fields after when the season was over, and with all the stuff he picked, he bought a car with it. He said,
"Oh, really?"
Friedlander said that, but at a bank, they account for every penny. Oh. Once you're talking about money, there nobody there's nothing hefker.
Okay, let's see a little late over here. Let's just see over here, just to get in over here. This. So the Gemara tells us that Rav Tarfon Mishum Tarfon Osher Godel Havin Havin Lefaisei Bedomin. Right. So that's the Soida Dvarim over here, that the Kisra Shel Torah, based on the fact that. Right, we see that if you have another choice, if you have another option, then it's also the Shtam Shabakishim Shul Torah, and that's what Tarfon was upset about. Let's see over here the Ran. The Ran says like this: Maskinon de'inochinami kivin the Osher Godel Hoya. So therefore, it's the same as what we originally started with. And as we were saying, that we understand, if it was a small amount of money, that we understood why Rav Tarfon was upset at himself for using the Kisra Shel, but he had another option. So Zot Gemara, Ali B'Demes, even according to the current situation, which was a lot of money, it's also for him considered having another option. Now the Ran says like this, Mi'udafka b'chi ha'gav no huda osern. The issur is dafka in this situation. Mishum dehu gavra. I'm in the Ran.
Oh, in the
see,
middle of the Ran.
The Ran. The Ran. Yeah.
By the way, more mashmalah like you're saying that it's not me, Mishur Siddin, because this is usur. But anyway, okay.
You see what that is? See, but which it's like pretty much opposite the Taisus. We have the old print in that Gemara.
Oh, of course. Okay, thank you.
You see, was so maskina on dino chenamik, even the usher hoyu, right? That he was an usher. So therefore he is expected even a large amount of money that he has another option. Fine. Now, mihu dafka b'chi hagav nohuda aser mishum dahu gavra dain hayu choish doy. The man says an important thing based on the Gemara later on that this b'chlau, what happened over here was, and the problem of mishdamish b'kishu from Torah was only because that the owner of the field was still accusing him. Interestingly enough, right? Mm-hmm. And after he found that it was Rutarfin. Right, he still was accusing him as being stealing his fruit. That the Ran says that mishdamish bekishul for Torah is that when if you're pardoning yourself with the kishul Torah, that's called mishdamish bekishul Torah. Mean to say that if this person feels that he has a claim on you, right, and you can't, you know, and you know you can't prove otherwise, right, and what you're doing is that you're working with his claim, and he's saying that you're a ganav and you owe me, you know, a large amount of money, and he then tells him, you know, the amr of tarifin. So what happened over here was the person is clearly he's pardoning him, right? You're tarifin. Okay, fine. I'm not going to press the charges. Right, even though he still feels that he owes him the money, so that's a mishtamish bekishur sol Torah. Right, that means that you're pardoning yourself, right, with on the case of Torah. Avovada lifter atzim bekovra Torah b'mashe ein echayev boishori. But if there was something which is clear that he's not mechuyev and he could present himself, right, that he's not mechuyev because he is a tzuv merabonon. If that's from the rights of his status, right? So that's not a mishtamish bekishur shel Torah.
What does it mean she'enu chayev bo? Here he wasn't chayev to him.
But he's saying according to what the person thinks.
Oh,
right?
He couldn't prove otherwise,
even though maybe,
okay,
you know, in the, back upon it, but in the current situation, right now, where they were standing,
okay,
right now, right?
She'enu chayev, even by an accusation.
Right, so. Right. Right, and he brings the Gemara later on, because the Gemara clearly says later on, Shavu Rambonan, Shavu Tzur Rambonan Meimer, Lo Yiv Kaga, a Tzur Rambonan could say, I'm not paying the tax, because, you know, I'm a Tzur Rambonan, Shavu Lameimer, Shavu Le Tigroi Bereisha, and if he could also, you know, get his first, you know, be serviced first in a Din Torah, you know, he'd make his way in front of the line. That's the more later on, right? Makes that connection that v'nei dov kohanim, right? That there's certain schusim that a talmid chacham has from the fact that he holds that status, and that's not bechlal mishdamish b'kishur shel Torah. As the Ran tells, mishdamish b'kishur shel Torah refers to that when mitzad hadin you really have no right, but you're, you know what the right word is. I'm just using the word that he's pardoning himself. He's, you know, using his potuxia over here, you know, to get somewhere because of his status. That's the mishdamish b'kishur shel Torah.
And that you're allowed to do.
So if it's a schus, that's right. That's mutter. Right? That's the same. It's not any different than the koyin, which is his schusim. And I guess for that matter, you know, the halachas of v'kidashta, liftach rishon, v'orach rishon, little money yofer rishon, all those things, right? That's something that his status gives him the schus. So that's not a mishtamish b'kishu shel Torah.
I don't quite understand. This is between these two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
claim the tax exempt status because of your occupation, that's no, that's causing no zilzul to the Torah, right? Saying I'm a rabbi, therefore I think you should give me extra, you know, extra good deal. That's definitely right. But here, that's not zilzul to the Torah. That's just like trying to use it like a caradom, right? But here, he's like, he's causing zilzul by saying, I'm Tom Papa and I'm a thief, because the guy didn't believe him. Right? So, let's say, even if, let's say, he had a heter to absolve himself from this cost that he's really not machuya then, right? But by doing so, he's then creating a zozo Torah. It's not the same.
Ah, okay, that's a point. In this situation of it, whether I'm telling us, is the person who's still looking at it as a thief. And he's saying
he's making a thief.
You know, you can't quote me on this fraud, but you know, I'm a rabbi, so let me go.
Right.
That's a further extreme. The Ran, that's the specific case. That's this specific case that. It's really worse. According to the way Ran's saying, it would be, even if there wasn't an accusation, but I call upon him, but if he would not, if it be something that he's not deserving on mitzvah d'schus, okay, that's a point. That is a point. I mean, the Ran is really, I guess, coming from the Gemara later on, right? The Gemara later on has been vui that schusim, you have the right. So that's why he's saying anything less than that, right? Because it's not because of the specific zils that you have or that you're pointing out, right? The chilk that Ran is making is, you see from that Gemara, is schusim. But anything which is not bechlau schusim, that's already mishtamish b'kir shulchan Torah. And the mere fact that you're using is the zilzul, even if it's not, you know, something which is a chil Hashem, you know, mitzad that you're pardoning yourself from an improper act.
So the Rav is saying that we could be medayik from the Ran here, that were he to have said that I'm a Rav, you can trust that I wasn't the Ganef, right? And that I'm not a Ganef, and what I'm doing was a one-time thing, and it was much for me to do it, that the Ram would say that that's not considered using the Kisrei Shel Torah, and it would have been mitzvah for him.
That's, I think, what the Ram's saying. Yeah, right. Yeah. That, right. If he could have been convinced that the person would have accepted that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did Tavlin know before saying his name that saying his name wouldn't have said, obviously you're not the thief because you're a Tavlin. How do you know the guy wouldn't say that? This is the whole point of the Dan HaKoshtoi, but I mean, I'm surprised by the fact that this guy didn't assume that he was still a thief.
How do we know that he still tells that he's still Choshtoi?
How could Duptav have known that before letting out his identity? And the reason why it was also is because even after letting out his identity, the guy still suspects him of being a thief.
But the truth is that, do we even know that? I mean, once you're raising that point, the story is he said Duptav and the person dropped him and he ran. Now, right. we don't know that he's still Choshtoi. Maybe he wasn't Choshtoi. How does Rami even know that? Yeah, yeah.
Maybe this guy doesn't seem to be the highest caliber of mitos.
Well, he wanted to kill him.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like, I don't know how much you have, but Dama Kavskos, when they'll put you in a bag and throw you into the water, you know.
Yes, that's why he was able to assume that he was still the Christian.
Okay, so then that says something for such a person that the tavern still means something to him. Okay, all right. Okay, we have to hold over here for now. Okay, but we touched on some important points. Yeah, all right.